sure you've heard the saying, you can't outgive God. It sounds good, but is it biblical? Hi, I'm Rob West. Even though the phrase isn't found in the Bible, it's giving us an excuse to talk about the amazing, life-changing generosity of God. We'll do that today, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, that quote, "you can't outgive God," is what Insight for Living author Steve Johnson calls bumper sticker theology. There is a grain of truth there, but there's so much more to it than that. As Christians, we are called to go beyond the bumper sticker, allowing the reality of God's grace to change our hearts. It's absolutely true that God is the greatest giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 is the bedrock of our faith. Unfortunately, when it comes to imitating the generosity of God, we will always fall short. He does outgive us every time. So does that mean we can skip being generous because we can't do it perfectly? Of course not. Perhaps generous giving seems out of reach for you. You're afraid you won't have enough for yourself or your family's needs if you give too much. Now, let me reassure you. When God calls you to share what you have with someone in need, he is more than able to meet your needs in return. It's a matter of trust. So here's how God's generosity changes us. The magnitude of God's gift is impossible to ignore. God died to save you from the consequences of your sin. Not because of anything you did. He did it while you were still a sinner. Romans 5:8 reads, "God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's generosity beyond anything you or I can imagine, and deserves a response. As a Christian and a child of God, you are on a journey of faith that includes learning to trust God's faithfulness more and more. According to Galatians 2:20, you have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Generosity is one way you can demonstrate your trust in God and your desire to be a part of his kingdom work. Fear of not having enough is one way you might miss out on the blessings of generosity. There are, of course, others. Perhaps you hope to win God's favor by giving, or maybe you expect to be rewarded with material success when you're generous. Unfortunately, neither of these expectations is biblical. We're not trying to outgive God. We're not in competition with the Lord or with each other. As for earning God's favor, we already have it. It's called grace, and it's not something we can ever earn. What we can do is offer grace to others. As it says in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." What about those who expect God to reward them for being generous? Do we give in order to get something from God? Author Steve Johnson explains it this way. We are not to give to get earthly reward, expecting God to always give us back in this life what we invest in the kingdom. We should give without care for the earthly reward of financial prosperity. Instead, seek the heavenly reward of God himself. When we understand God's generosity towards us, it changes the nature of our giving and our attitude about all money and possessions. King David is an example of this right attitude about giving. In 1 Chronicles 29:14, David praises God for his abundant provision to build the temple, even though the raw materials came from the people's gifts. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." David demonstrates gratitude and gives God the glory. Like a loving father, God shows us through Jesus how to love and give and live in the right way. When we follow Christ in our generosity, we experience the blessing of serving others in his name. Sometimes the Lord provides additional material blessings so that we can continue giving. Of course, we can't outgive God, but we can be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. As you mature in your faith, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Peter 3:8, the Holy Spirit is making changes in your heart. you will want to respond to God's grace by being generous in turn. Best of all, when we serve and give generously, we experience a closer walk with the giver himself. All right, your calls are next. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call that number 24/7. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back after this break.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In our hyper-polarized age, it could often feel like we're walking on eggshells. No matter what we might say, it seems as though someone is offended. But as Scripture says, there's nothing new under the sun. When Jesus walked this earth, he was encountering the same problem. He would heal, and the Pharisees would object. He would teach, and his hometown tried to kill him. But there's good news for those who are not offended by him. In Luke 7, Jesus said, "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." There's plenty to get offended about in our world, but the news that Christ came to save sinners is not one of those things. Praise God that he doesn't treat us as we deserve. Grow in your walk with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle your questions today. We've already got calls coming in, but we've got a few lines open, so perhaps room for your financial question today. Again, 800-525-7000. Also coming up today, Jerry Boyer will stop by. Jerry will bring us an update on the markets and the economy. A lot of strength in the markets this week. The Dow Jones jumped yesterday, and we're off to another good start today with the Dow Jones up half a point, the S&P and NASDAQ nearly a full percentage point higher. There's a soft jobs report that we just got. Jerry will give us his analysis on that. But the market's liking what they're seeing, and we still are looking to find out whether we're going to have that soft landing or not that the Fed is trying to engineer while they slow the economy and fight inflation. So Jerry will bring us up to speed on all of it just around the corner. Well, we'd love to tackle your questions today. Again, the number is 800-525-7000, and we can apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices.
places. Hey, before we head to the phones today, you know, one of the most common issues we hear from you on is around adult children. How to help, when to help, when is too much. You know, this can be really challenging because we have a desire to help our children. And unfortunately, in doing so, in some cases, we can inadvertently cause them more harm, either spiritually or financially, by not allowing them to learn lessons, to develop good disciplines. Well, coming up in the broadcast today, I want to share with you some thoughts on how you can help without hurting your adult children who are in financial need. So we'll look forward to tackling those questions with you today if you have them, but I'll give you some hopefully some good counsel on that just around the corner. All right, we're going to dive in today. Again, lines are open, 800-525-7000. We're going to start in Pennsylvania with Rita. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm Rita. I am Rita in Pennsylvania. I'm retired. I'm 70 years old. I have no debt, own the house and the property and a couple of vehicles. Became a widow 2 years ago and am wondering what your thoughts are about buying a Class C RV. I live on Social Security and I'm looking at about 60 grand to spend on a used RV.
Okay. Yeah. And are you just wondering, Rita, whether you have the financial means to do it or just the larger decision of the lifestyle that you'll be taking on with that? What's your primary question today?
Yes, to both. Of those.
Okay, let's start with just
I heard your show when you were talking about the cars.
Yeah,
and I thought that was wonderful, and I've abided by that. But it didn't include RVs. That's what I was wondering.
Absolutely. Well, I think the same principles applied that that we talked about yesterday as you think about how you select that automobile, how you evaluate, well, in this case, the Class C RV, how you evaluate its true market value. You look at the history on it. If you're buying new, make sure it has a clean title. Make sure you get it checked out by an independent mechanic. I mean, all of those rules still apply. Would you be selling a property, Rita, and moving into this full time? Or what are your thoughts?
I could do that. Yes, okay. I probably would because if I'm traveling, I don't want to be anchored with a property.
Yeah. Okay. And would it be, are you married or are you single?
I'm single, a widow.
Okay. Yeah. And so I think the other question is just, you know, all that goes along with that in terms of not only the upkeep, but just, you know, what it takes to maintain an RV. Do you have any experience with them or have you spent any time around RVs?
Yes, a couple of years. It was a towable at the time.
Okay.
But quite honestly, I am not strongly mechanically inclined, but I'm not opposed to learning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's perhaps the first question, even before the financial piece, is just, you know, is this something that you would enjoy? You know, is, you know, the work that goes along with it and the know-how with regard to, you know, maintaining something like this and, you know, being on the road and traveling, you know, by yourself, those types of things, just making sure you're ready for that. You know, I'd love for you to be able to kind of try that before you buy, if you will, and, you know, maybe renting for a season, you know, just to take you know, a trip and, you know, kind of feel it out, make sure you're comfortable navigating it and driving as well as, you know, the maintenance and the upkeep. You know, it's a lifestyle more than it is an investment. And I think you need to really, you know, make sure you're up for that. And I would probably do that. You know, it's kind of like considering a new career in some respects. If we can do what we call a low-cost probe, that's a good thing. And it's kind of this idea that we want to get in and experience it and try it out before we make a significant financial commitment that, of course, can always be unwound, but there's time and cost to each of these transactions, whether it's buying or selling. And if you can check it out before you do so, you know, I think that would be a really good decision in order to do that. Now, with regard to the financial side of this, I know you said you're debt-free. How would you be funding the purchase, out of cash, or would you borrow to do it?
No, I would do it out of cash.
Okay. And tell me just a bit about your financial situation. What do you have available in liquid assets?
$200,000.
Okay.
And then I live on Social Security of $3,000 a month.
Okay. Yeah. And so the $3,000 a month covers all of your bills, so you don't have to touch the $200,000. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then do you have any other assets like retirement accounts or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. That's completely fine. Obviously, you're living modestly. You're living on the Social Security. That's great. This perhaps, you know, could improve that situation. Have you looked at what the investment would be for the type of RV that you're looking for?
What do you mean, what the investment would be?
What would the cost? Purchase price would be, yes.
Well, I'm looking at $60,000.
Okay, $60,000. Yeah, you had mentioned that. I apologize. Yeah, so that would come obviously out of your $200,000, which would leave you $140,000. Now, if you know, the challenge is you've got to factor in not only the purchase price but the ongoing expenses as well. You know, you could obviously spend $50 a day or so to park in, you know, an RV park. You could also, you know, have the repairs and upkeep, which can be pricey if you're not handy. A lot of folks that, you know, do it themselves can reduce those costs. But if you don't have the experience or the know-how there, then, you know, that maintenance can be pricey. But obviously, most of that, I would imagine, you could cover out of your, you know, existing assets. And if you're selling a piece of property, that would just increase that. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, I don't see any kind of showstoppers here from a financial standpoint. I think the real key here is, do you want to take on this lifestyle of RV living? And are you ready for it? Is it something you're going to enjoy? Are there any things you aren't considering with regard to, you know, how you would, you know, navigate and maintain this property? So I would probably look for an opportunity for you to maybe rent an RV for a month and see if you take a trip and just experience it before you make the financial commitment. I think that's my best advice for you today, Rita. We appreciate you being on the program, though. May the Lord bless you, and call back anytime. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who's been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's head back to the phones to Texas. Hi, Ruth. How can I help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's time for me to renew my auto and homeowner's insurance. And the premium has really gone up, and I'm just not sure that the amount of coverage is what I really need, and I wondered if it would be safe for me to reduce the amount of coverage in order to bring down the premium.
Yeah, very good. Well, there are options here. I mean, number one is if you've got an emergency fund, you could look at increasing your deductible and then look to pull that out of your emergency fund, which if you already have that in place, could save you some dollars on the premium because obviously the premium would come down as the deductible goes up. If you have an older car, you could potentially look at dropping collision and comprehensive insurance. You know, I would probably only think about doing that if you have an older car. You know, the general rule of thumb is if a car is maybe 6 or 7 years old, over 100,000 miles, or if the total premiums on the collision and comprehensive is more than the annual premiums is more than 50% of the car's value, then you can drop the collision, which basically pays for repairs to your car if it's in an accident that's covered where it has damage or where it's totaled. And then the comprehensive is if something happens to your car that is, you know, unrelated to a covered accident, weather damage, you hit a deer, your car's stolen, you know, that's obviously where the insurance company would cover the loss. With an older car, some folks, you know, make the decision to drop collision and comprehensive, and they just keep the liability, which protects, you know, you in terms of a covered accident where there's damage to someone else's property, the personal injury protection you need, and then the uninsured, underinsured motorist protection. Those you always have to have. So I think either A, shopping it around and looking for some other alternatives, B, raising that deductible, assuming you have the money in your reserves, your emergency fund, and C, for an older car, considering dropping certain coverages. Those would be kind of the most common ways to get the overall cost down. Give me your thoughts on that, though.
Yes. That helps. My car is old, 15 years old, and I mean, if anything happens, the premium is probably more than my car is worth.
Yeah.
I could do that. That would really help.
Yeah, I think the key is just understand. Yeah, I was just going to say quickly on that, just make sure you understand that means if you are in an accident or you have damage or it is damaged by, you know, something unrelated to an accident, that you are going to have to come out of pocket with that full amount. But to your point, if that premium is more than the car is worth or even approaching, you know, as much as 50% of what it's worth, then I think that makes a lot of sense. Go ahead with your second question.
It's regarding my homeowner's insurance. I wondered if there was anything I could do to help with that.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think obviously the, you know, you've got to look at where you are. So you're in Texas, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I would talk to your agent just to see, you know, what opportunities you have to get that policy down. You know, obviously you want to make sure you maintain coverage. You know, if you can afford it, I would say, you know, what is your current deductible right now? Do you know?
1%.
Okay. All right. 1% of the value.
Let me see if you want me to draw up the document.
No, that's okay. But I would talk to your agent about that. I mean, that's going to be the easiest way. I mean, for instance, going from a $500 deductible to $1,000 can save you as much as 25%. So you just need to look at that option, and you may want to go, you know, even higher than that. You also want to make sure that, you know, if you have a home security device, can you get a discount for that? Are there other discounts available just based on the construction of your property? And, you know, are they factoring all of that in? You don't have to buy your home and auto policies from the same insurer. And so you could shop it around and see if you can find another, you know, opportunity with another company that gets good reviews and ratings for customer service and coverage, but, you know, can give you a little bit lesser cost. Perhaps even, you know, a new company, a lot of times in the first few years of the coverage, to win your business, they'll give you a discount, perhaps, you know, do it at a lesser amount. And then don't confuse what you paid for the house with the rebuilding costs. You'd want to have your agent look at whether or not you're overinsured. You know, maybe you have more coverage than you need, and you could back that down. So I think, you know, first of all, calling your agent and just asking him the question or her, you know, how can I bring this cost down? Will you analyze my policy and see what options I have? And then B, shopping it around would probably be the two best options. Okay?
Okay. If I shop around, will that affect my insurance?
No, ma'am. No. So you can shop around all you want. Okay. And you just need to make sure you have something else that, you know, can be put in force before you cancel that policy.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
thank you, Ruth.
Beth.
I'm so glad you called today. May the Lord bless you. Call back anytime. Well, folks, we're going to head to a break here. Minnie, David, Ron coming your way here in just a moment. We want to take a quick break, though, and back with more of your questions. We do have one line open. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to tackle it with you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Let me also say, as we head into this next break, Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio is listener support. So maybe you set your clock by it. You don't miss the program, or you listen regularly, and perhaps you found something of value that's helped you to live as a wise and faithful steward. We've helped you reframe your thinking about your role in managing God's money, making God your true treasure and not your money. Perhaps you found some practical help here. Well, we'd invite you to be a financial supporter at faithfi.com. Just click give, faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
More tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this, and that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial life, making God your true treasure and not your stuff. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. One line open, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones. We will head to David in Oklahoma, first-time caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am wondering, is it better to invest in precious metals or into the stock market?
Yeah, it's a great question. To avoid getting in a binary trap, which is where you have two decisions and perhaps, you know, to make, or two options when perhaps there's a third, I will introduce that third idea, and perhaps it's both. In the sense that I like gold, I think precious metals should be part of a properly diversified portfolio. I would just perhaps not go more than 5%, 10% at the most. I like the idea, if you want an allocation of gold, of having a 5% forever gold allocation, which is often where you might put your physical gold. You buy and hold it, store it, secure it, hold it forever, maybe pass it down. And then if you want to kind of move up just because the situation circumstances warrant to the top end of your range, maybe you do that second 5% in more of a tracking ETF. So one of the ETFs, there's maybe a dozen of them out there. GLD would be an example where you're buying an ETF that trades like a stock, but it's just moving with the spot price of gold. And so without actually owning the physical gold, you can bring an allocation into the portfolio. But again, I'd limit that for, no more than 10% of your investable assets. Why is that? Well, it's because, when you look at a properly diversified portfolio, number one, you don't want all of your eggs in one basket. Number two is gold just doesn't have the performance that a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio does over the last 100 years, and it has more volatility. And here's a good case in point. You would think that the situation we would find ourselves in, that we find ourselves in right now, would have gold going through the roof. I mean, we had a global pandemic, massive monetary and fiscal stimulus, the highest inflation in 40 years, a war in Europe, a war in the Middle East, and yet gold today is still lower or cheaper than it was in the summer of 2020, despite all that's happened. And so, yes, it's a store of value, and yes, it's a hedge against inflation, and yes, it's a feared trade. It's not one of those things. It's all of those things. But again, even though all of those things are playing out right now, we haven't even gotten back to that high watermark from 2020. And I think on top of that, you've got the fact that gold doesn't generate any income, which, if you buy bonds, they will. You buy stocks, they can. So I think given all of that, I think there's a place for gold, David, as a, again, a part of a properly diversified portfolio. I just wouldn't overweight there. Does all that make sense?
Yes, sir, it sure does. And I appreciate your story, your show. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you, David. Thanks for being on the program. We appreciate it. One line open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Lee. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? I've got a 401k from a previous employer. It's got 250 or so in it and need to do something with it. I'm self-employed now, and I was looking at doing an annuity. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm not a big fan of annuities, but I'm not someone who says they don't ever have a place. So give me your thoughts on that. What are you trying to accomplish, and why do you think the annuity is the right fit for it?
Well, I'm not sure, really. I just need to do something with it. I'm 43, and I kind of want something I can keep contributing to.
How much do you have?
I just got to do something with it.
Sure. How much do you have in that 401, Kaylee?
It's around $250,000.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, the nice thing about an annuity is you're transferring the risk away from yourself and the market risk, to an insurance company. But what are you giving up in exchange for that transfer of risk? Well, you're giving up upside potential. So even though they can provide a downside floor with a variable annuity, you're only going to get a percentage of the upside. You're giving up liquidity. So you're going to lose access to that money if you needed it for at least a period of time in the form of surrender charges and penalties. You're also, you know, adding fees and expenses. Annuities are tend to be expensive, and they're complex. So they're not all created equal. There's a lot of fine print. They're often misunderstood. So I think the opportunity here in lieu of an annuity, which again, I'm not saying it's not right for you. You need to make that call. But the other opportunity would be to hire an advisor and transfer this to an IRA and have that advisor manage this, where you can have an allocation of gold and precious metals. You can have, you know, an appropriate allocation to equity stocks. You can have, you know, some bonds in there as well. And, you know, as interest rates head down, bonds will do well. You'll get that high yield, but the underlying price of the bond will increase as the interest rates fall. And so, you know, to have a $250,000 portfolio that's being managed, you know, you've got somebody that's day to day, you know, giving oversight to it, aligned with your goals and objectives, but still giving you access to the money if you need it, and giving you the full upside of the returns over the long haul, you know, I think is the key. Now, you've got to be able to maintain that long-term perspective, though, because, you know, despite, the desire of the Fed to have a soft landing next year and avoid a recession, a lot of economists think we will have one. Could the market, you know, retest its lows from last October? Absolutely. So you could see that $250,000 go down to 200,000 or even below that before it goes higher. But if you have a long-term perspective, and you should, because, you know, even once you hit retirement in your 60s, you know, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, your life expectancy is 83 at a minimum. So you need this money to last for decades. And I think the very best way to offset inflation is to get it working for you, invest in real companies with real sales and earnings that are creating value for their shareholders. And, you know, the good news is, despite our challenges here in the U.S., we still have the biggest and strongest economy in the world. And, I think given that, that's, you know, the way I would go in terms of how I'd view your opportunities with this $250,000. But clearly, if you, you know, have more peace of mind, sleep better at night knowing that you're going to get a guaranteed rate of return, you don't have to worry about the stock market, then, you know, that's where an annuity has a place. Does all that make sense?
It does. My 401k has lost, you know, a good bit.
Yeah.
It seems like, and that was one of the upsides to the annuity is the, you know, the guaranteed interest, I guess, they pay.
Yeah, you just always have to look at the trade-off there. And, you know, you can look at the last couple of years in the market and say, well, this hadn't been so good. But if you look at the last couple of decades, it's been phenomenal, right? So, you know, I think as long as we maintain that long-term perspective, I like your prospects for long-term growth, despite the ups and downs. You know, remember, you know, the market has, the S&P 500's done better than 9% a year for the last 100 years, despite the, you know, the dot-com bust, and despite the crash of 29, and despite the pandemic. I mean, all of those huge sell-offs have still resulted in a very compelling rate of return for those that had a long-term perspective. So I just think you can't look at a narrow window of time. You've got to look at a broader view. Here's what I would do, Lee. Before you land on that annuity, I'd at least interview a couple of advisors and just kind of talk through what your options are, how they might manage it for you. We recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, CKA. It's the only designation in the financial services industry for advisors who've met high standards in character and competence and can bring a biblical worldview of money management. To find a CKA in your area, go to faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. Back with more of your questions and Jerry Boyer just around the corner. Stay with us.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
If you are engaging in sexual sin, today is the day to repent. As it was corrupt in Judah, let's be honest, the same things are happening today. The pornography addiction amongst the body of Christ is through the roof. And by and large, many in the church are not discussing these things too often because many of the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to do so, they're bound themselves.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. All the lines are full. We'll try to get to those questions in a bit. But first, it's Friday, which means Jerry Boyer's here. He joins us each Friday to share his insights on the market and talk to us about the work he's doing as of late in the area of corporate engagement. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hey, a strong market as of late. I guess they liked what the Fed had to say. And is the jobs report, that the fact that it was softer than expected, is that actually helping in our upside down world?
Exactly. It's the upside down world. Or if you're a comic book fan, Bizarro World. That's the one where Superman's a bad guy.
Right.
It's like another dimension. So I'm classing up the conversation here a little bit with classic literary references.
That's right.
So basically, two major events happened this week that drove markets. One is the Fed chairman said, well, you know, credit conditions are kind of tough. It's a little kind of tough for people to get loans. So that's good, because that means we won't have as much inflation.
Right.
You can't get a mortgage. All right, great news. That'll help us fight inflation. And then today, you can't get a job either. Well, that's double good news, because that means we're fighting inflation. That means we're going to beat inflation. And so they're not going to fight inflation anymore. They're not going to pull money out of the money supply anymore. And the markets are saying they're probably going to start pouring money back into the money supply as of next spring. So in that strange world, bad news for the economy is good news for the markets. Not because bad news for the economy is actually good news. It's because bad news for the economy gets interpreted by the Fed in such a way as they're not going to try to slow it down. It's slowing down enough on its own is basically what they're saying. We don't need to intentionally slow it down, because they think slowing down the economy is the way to beat inflation, which of course it isn't. The way to beat inflation is to have economic growth and sound money. Unjust weights and measures are an abomination. Getting rid rid of unjust weights and measures is the way to not have inflation. But they don't want to do that because they're not grounded in the Bible. They're grounded in something else.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Jerry. Well, corporate earnings, obviously, are largely behind us, or at least we're a good way through Q3 earnings. What are we seeing with regard to corporations and how they're holding up?
Yeah, corporations aren't doing bad on earnings. The second quarter was pretty bad, but the third quarter seems to have been okay. But again, that's one of those interesting things. Corporate earnings don't drive the performance anymore. I mean, if you have like something really unexpected with one particular company, you know, then that might change things when it, you know, when what comes in varies from the expectations. But corporate earnings are holding up okay, but for the third quarter, as you point out, but for the second quarter, year over year, they were down. So there was something like a profit recession in the second quarter. And I, as you know from the quarterly call, I think we had a recession. It might maybe not technically the definition of a recession, but last year we had a kind of a recession spread out over roughly a year. And because it was spread out, it was more like a bunch of almost, you know, like 1% growth rates rather than typically what you have is a couple of quarters of negative and then a couple of quarters of strong positive. Instead, we had what's called a growth recession.
Yeah, yeah, that's helpful, Jerry. So what is the data telling us? You know, here we sit, you know, 2 months away from the end of the year. As we look out into 2024, what is the data telling us about where we're headed? And, you know, are we is the consumer still kind of riding high on that COVID injection of cash? And is that going to allow us, you know, to weather this storm and perhaps hold up such that we could avoid that recession?
No, because I don't think the consumer can keep things alive because you have to have production in order to have consumption. Yeah. And so I'm more focused on gross output, which is the entire economy, yeah, which includes production and consumption. So, yeah, consumers have some money in the bank, but they're also leveraged. And, you know, we have credit conditions being tightened. So we're going to have trouble borrowing in order to spend. And again, I don't really see that as bad news. I think we tend to overborrow and overspend. That's kind of the strange thing where we depend on GDP to tell whether the economy's, you know, healthy, right, or not. GDP is a spending measurement, not a producing measurement. So I like to look at something like gross output and business output that tells me production. I had an economics professor who said that there's only one place where consumption comes before production: in the dictionary. But in the real world, you can see, you know, yeah, but in the real world, you got to produce, right, in order to consume. So and we can't just like print money and send out stimulus checks and have people not work and then have them buy, because there's not as much stuff to buy. We can only buy what we build. And so that's what supply side economics is all about. It's about the fact that it's not hard to get people to demand things. It's, yeah, not hard to get people to want things. It's hard to get people to work hard and create things. That's the challenge in the economy.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Jerry. All right, before we wrap up today, give us an update on what you and the team have been working on in the corporate engagement area.
Well, I think you're part of the team now because you helped connect us with an advisor after the quarterly call that we did for Kingdom Advisors. I mentioned that Bank of America was coming up with the deadline for a proposal, and the Bank of America had debanked a ministry to Ugandan orphans and widows. And that we wanted to work with someone to put a proposal forward. And, you know, not long after that, one of your KA members contacted you and contacted me and said, I've got a client who owns Bank of America. What can we do? So this week, following up on that, a proposal was sent to Bank of America saying, we want you to explain exactly how you make these decisions. Why are you debanking these religious groups? We want transparency, and we want you to talk about the risk that comes from being seen as, say, an anti-Christian or an anti-conservative company.
Wow, Jerry. Well, that's perfect evidence of the opportunity that exists to vote based on your rights to do so as a shareholder and ask hard questions and hopefully hold folks accountable to the decisions they're making and their business practices. So grateful for your work, Jerry. You're making a difference, and we always enjoy your insights, my friend.
So are you. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, folks. He's our resident economist. He joins us each Friday on the broadcast. Hey, let's try to work through as many of these questions as we can before we round out the program. To Ohio, Smitty, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Program. I was thinking about your call a few minutes ago, talking about weight reduced through auto insurance. Comprehensive insurance is one of the best things they've ever made. It's like
somehow it flies under the radar. Comprehensive covers wind damage, fire, hail, to hit a deer, tree branch falls, the car gets stolen. In my experience over the last 30 years, any claims I've had has usually been for comprehensive. And let's say you have a car that's like $600 a year for insurance. Your comprehensive portion of that's only going to be maybe $40, $50. So that's a very small part of your premium, but it covers a whole lot of stuff that is non-collision related.
Yeah. It's a great point, Smitty. I'm glad you raised it. I certainly wouldn't give it up quickly, but I think as you're evaluating, you know, especially the collision portion, but also with comprehensive, I think that's where for somebody who, you know, doesn't have a lien on it, they paid it off, and that portion of that policy is, you know, running 50% plus of the value of that, the total value of that car annually. So we're talking an older car, you know, you can, you know, make that up, put that in your emergency savings and save that money. But I agree with you. I wouldn't give that up lightly because all of those, you know, non-covered, you know, well, covered things that are unrelated to a covered accident, like you said, weather, deer, car stolen, you know, hail. You want to have that in place unless you're spending more than eventually, you know, with a couple of years worth of premiums, you could basically pay for the entire car. But I think it's a great point, and I appreciate you raising it, sir. Thanks for being on the program. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
How can
Hello?
I help? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm going to retire in 2 years, and I was trying to get stuff, my investments set up because I had no clue how to do it. And so I went online, and the only thing for my area that gave me Vanguard. But I don't know if they're biblically responsible. Mm-hmm. I am truly strong in believing in it's God's money.
Hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And I want to invest right. So I was just wondering, how do you feel about Vanguard?
Yeah, I love that question and your desire. I would say that for those folks who want to invest aligned with their biblical values, often they steer away from Vanguard for a variety of reasons. Here's what I might do, Joanne. Do you have access to the internet?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I would go to our website, faithfi.com. So that's faith. FI.com. Right there at the top of the page, you're going to see a button that says Find a CKA, and that stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. These are men and women who've met high standards in character and competence, and they've been trained to bring professional biblical financial advice and investments. And I would interview a couple of CKAs there in North Carolina. You can call them on the phone, send them an email. And perhaps that would be the way to go where you can invest in a way that's aligned with your values. Make sure you let them know that when you call that that's what you're looking for. That's faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA. God bless you, Joanne. Thanks for calling. Quickly to Alabama. Derek, I've got just less than a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. My son is looking at buying a house. Thinking about buying it right now this year. So do you think it's a good idea to buy it this year or wait till next year when he actually gets like 20% down and don't have to pay a PMI?
Yeah, I would wait. I certainly would wait because hopefully two things will happen. Number one, he'll get to that 20% down, which tells me he's a little more ready to buy. He doesn't have that PMI, private mortgage insurance, which can run him 1% or more of the value of the mortgage, and that doesn't do anything for him. It's for the lender. And thirdly, hopefully, he'll be able to buy in and get a lower interest rate a year from now. We'll be certainly much closer to the Fed starting to drop those rates. A lot of economists think mortgage rates might be in the fives, certainly the sixes by the end of next year. So I tell him to hold off and save, and I think that'll pay off. Derek, thanks for your call today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. I'm Rob West. On behalf of my team, producer Devin Patrick, our phone screener Robert Sutherland, and researcher Robert Sutherland, and our phone screener Robert Youngblood, thanks for being along with us today. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.